And we've arrived at day 17 today. Today we'll be going over Joseph Most Chaste. But first, let's open in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good and loving Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for all of our blessings and the gifts that you've bestowed upon all of us. We thank you for this time that you have given us together to learn more about and grow closer to our spiritual father, Saint Joseph. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit to please be with us today as we embark on day 17 of our 33-day consecration together. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, a little bit of a shorter day today, which little break from the last few days here that were a tad longer, but let's get started here today. Day 17, Joseph Most Chaste, pray for us. Who can ever understand how great he, Saint Joseph, had to be in this virtue of virginity, who was destined by the Eternal Father to be the guardian, or rather the companion, of Mary's virginity? St. Francis de Sales. In the Litany of Loreto, Mary is called Mother Most Chaste. In the Litany of St. Joseph, our spiritual father is called Most Chaste as well. No other saints can be invoked as the Most Chaste, just, prudent, courageous, obedient, faithful, or any other virtue. Mary and St. Joseph together share these superlative qualities, in part because their hearts as husband and wife are one. Where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. Luke chapter 12, verse 34. St. Joseph has three treasures: Jesus, Mary, and you. Nothing consumes the heart of St. Joseph other than these three treasures. The heart of St. Joseph is the heart of a loving father, and you have access to his heart. The chaste heart of St. Joseph is your home. In Catholicism, when we speak of devotion to the hearts of Jesus and Mary, we are essentially referring to devotion to the personhood of Jesus and Mary. We love the sacred and immaculate hearts, and often depict them in art, because we love the persons of Jesus and Mary. While devotion to the hearts of Jesus and Mary is well established in the Church, each having liturgical feast days, devotion to the heart of St. Joseph has not fully developed in the Church. Perhaps there will one day be a liturgical feast honoring St. Joseph's heart, but only God knows the future. Whether it happens or not, all children desire a father whose heart, person, is strong, protective, and gentle. Saint Joseph has such a heart. He has the heart of a father, a king, a warrior, and a chaste gentleman. His chaste heart beats with love for you. Saint Joseph will help you have a chaste heart. Lust is the predominant vice at work in your hearts of men today. The world is filled with immoral and lust-filled actions. These actions greatly offend God, ruin families, and cry out to the heaven for justice. Did not our Lady warn Saint Jacinta of Fatima that many souls go to hell because of sins of the flesh? In the battle for purity, everyone needs to go to St. Joseph. If a man or woman struggles with lust, they must go to St. Joseph. If temptations against purity batter your mind, heart, and soul, run to your spiritual father. Cling to St. Joseph. Your spiritual father is capable of increasing the virtue of chastity in your heart and leading you to true, virtuous love of God and neighbor. You will be victorious against lust and triumphant over sin if you take refuge beneath the fatherly cloak of Saint Joseph. prayer is difficult when you are assailed with temptations against purity, but Saint Joseph will fight for you if only you invoke his holy name. Men, in particular, need to imitate the chaste heart of Saint Joseph. The world needs men who love their wives as Saint Joseph loved Mary. If men reverence their wives as holy temples, families will be renewed, dragons will be slain, and the evils of our age that attack the dignity of the human person will be overcome. The imitation of Saint Joseph will spread a revolution of holiness over the earth. That God may be more favorable to our prayers, and that he may come with bounty and promptitude to the aid of his church, we judge it of deep utility for the Christian people continually to invoke the great piety and trust, together with the Virgin Mother of God, her chaste spouse, the Blessed Joseph, Pope Leo XIII. Santo Anello. Divine Union Between Our Lady and the Glorious Saint Joseph. By means of this union, that good of eternal goods, our Lord himself, belonged to Saint Joseph as well as Our Lady, Saint Francis de Sales. Santo Anello. Who is that? Actually, Santo Anello is not a person. Santo Anello is a thing, the holy ring that Saint Joseph gave Mary on their wedding day. Yes, you read that right. The wedding ring that Saint Joseph gave to Mary is still in existence today. It is reserved in a special gold and silver reliquary in the Cathedral of San Lorenzo in Perugia, Italy. Many people who go on pilgrimage to Assisi, Italy, are unaware that only a short distance away from Assisi, 14 miles, is the Holy Ring. The Holy Ring has been in Perugia since the 19th century. Prior to its term in Perugia, the ring was housed in various other locations throughout Italy. Until recently, the existence of the ring was not known to many people outside of Perugia. Even many saints did not know about the Holy Ring. Thanks to the mystical visions of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, people around the world now know that the Santo Anello and its exact location. Interestingly, Blessed Anne Catherine herself never saw the ring in person. She only saw the Holy Ring in her mystical visions, but never knew where the ring was located. Information about its precise location only came to light after her death. Here's how. It was reported that on July 29th and August 3rd, 1821, Blessed Anne Catherine received visions concerning the Holy Ring. Prior to the visions, she had had no idea that the ring Saint Joseph had given Mary was still in existence. She said, July 29th, 1821, I saw the Blessed Virgin's wedding ring. It is neither of silver, nor of gold, nor of any other metal. It is dark in color and iridescent. It is not a thin, narrow ring, but rather a thick and at least a finger broad. I saw it smooth, and yet it was covered with little regular triangles in which were letters. On the inside was a flat surface. The ring is engraved with something. I saw it kept behind many locks in a beautiful church. Devout people about to be married take their wedding rings to touch it. August 3rd, 1821. In the last few days, I have seen much of the story of Mary's wedding ring, But as the result of disturbances and pain, I can no longer give a connected account of it. Today, I saw a festival in a church in Italy where the wedding ring is to be found. It seemed to me to be hung up in a kind of monstrance which stood above the tabernacle. There was a large altar there, magnificently decorated. One saw deep into it through much silver work. I saw many rings being held against the monstrance. During the festival, I saw Mary and Joseph appearing in their wedding garments on each side of the ring, as if Joseph were placing the ring on the Blessed Virgin's finger. At the same time, I saw the ring shining and as if in movement. According to the visions, Blessed Anne Catherine learned that the wedding ring was in a church in Italy, but she never knew what church or what town in Italy, and she died without ever finding it. A few years after her death, people began searching for the locations of many of the things that Blessed Anne Catherine reportedly saw in her visions. Incredibly, the ring and its location were discovered. The ring was found in the Cathedral of St. Lorenzo in Perugia, Italy. It was discovered to be housed in a beautiful reliquary resembling a monstrance, exactly as Blessed Anne Catherine had stated. The ring had been there for some time, but almost nobody outside of Italy knew about it. Her description of the ring was very true as well. The ring appeared iridescent and dark in color, a dark amber or yellow. On occasion, if there is a lot of sunlight in the cathedral, the ring can appear to be milky white. A fascinating aspect of Blessed Anne Catherine's reported visions are the dates that she saw the ring. Her visions of the ring occurred on July 29th and August 3rd. Unbeknownst to her, these dates coincide with the time of the year when pilgrims visit the cathedral in Perugia as they make their way to Assisi for the annual celebration of the Feast of the Holy Angels of the Portinancula on August 2nd. The end of July and or early August see large groups of people venerate the ring in a special way. Married couples, as well as those about to be married, are allowed to touch their wedding rings to the Santo Anello to receive a blessing on their marriage. Blessed Anne Catherine apparently witnessed this happening in her visions. Today, pilgrims from around the world travel to Perugia to see the relic and venerate it. Blessed Pope Pius IX venerated the ring on May 10, 1857, when visiting Perugia. He also celebrated Mass at the cathedral. Oh, what pure love the virgin spouses had for each other. More than Adam and Eve in the early days of their innocence, Joseph and Mary were the delight of the Lord, the ecstasy of angels in the humble home of Nazareth. Nazareth was similar to Eden in the first days of creation. Everything was holy. Everything was innocent. Everything was beautiful. Blessed Bartolo Longo. The Litany of Saint Joseph. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, hear us. Christ, graciously hear us. God, the Father of heaven, have mercy on us. God, the Son, Redeemer of the world, have mercy on us. God, the Holy Spirit, have mercy on us. Holy Trinity, one God, have mercy on us. Holy Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Noble offspring of David, pray for us. Light of patriarchs, pray for us. Spouse of the Mother of God, pray for us. Chaste guardian of the Virgin, pray for us. Foster father of the Son of God, pray for us. Zealous defender of Christ, pray for us. Head of the Holy Family, pray for us. Joseph, most just, pray for us. Joseph, most chaste, pray for us. Joseph, most prudent, pray for us. Joseph, most courageous, pray for us. Joseph, most obedient, pray for us. Joseph, most faithful, pray for us. Mayor of patience, pray for us. Lover of poverty, pray for us. Model of workman, pray for us. Glory of domestic life, pray for us. Guardian of virgins, pray for us. Pillar of families, pray for us. Comfort of the afflicted, pray for us. Hope of the sick, pray for us. Patron of the dying, pray for us. Terror of demons, pray for us. Protector of the Holy Church, pray for us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, spare us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, graciously hear us, O Lord. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. He has made him Lord of his household and Prince over all his possessions. Let us pray. O God, who in your loving providence chose blessed Joseph to be the spouse of your most holy mother, grant us the favor of having him for our intercessor in heaven, whom on earth we venerate as our protector. You who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Shorter reading today, but oh, this is cool. Not to mention that, when we first discussed Joseph Most Chaste today, this is beautiful. I found this very beautiful, and the love that the two, both Joseph and Mary, had for each other was so special, in reverence of each other's chaste vocations here. And something I wanted to just point out here too is they mentioned the hearts of Jesus and Mary being very well established in the church, and they are. These are two incredible devotions that, if you're not familiar with, I strongly encourage you to look into and consider these devotions, as they can greatly enhance your relationship with both Jesus and Mary. But they mentioned the heart of Joseph, and Saint Joseph will help you to have a chaste heart. And they mentioned that Joseph had three things that he absolutely loved, and that was Jesus, Saint Joseph had three treasures that they outlined: Jesus, Mary, and you. And that's not to be taken lightly. Saint Joseph treasures you, and that is his heart. And speaking of his heart, I know this is just a very brief reading here for the Santo Anello, as I flip back to this here. But with the Santo Anello, speaking of the heart of Joseph, we all know that one person, or maybe you know multiple people, but these people are hard to come by, that have a very sincere heart and a very loving heart. And I don't know if any of you have ever received something from someone that was handmade, or there was a story behind it, or both, where they handmade something that had a story behind it that they wanted to give you. But when something is handmade, it has so much more significance and sentiment than something you can go to the store and get to give someone. It's the time, it's the labor, it's the love, it's the intention that goes behind something that is made by someone to give to someone else. And as we reviewed Santo Anello, the ring that Saint Joseph gave to our Blessed Mother on their wedding day, I'm pretty sure they didn't have a K Jewelers or any of these other fancy jewelry shops to find a ring or even have someone customize a ring for you. This is something that Saint Joseph made for his most beloved spouse to be. And as we learn about the apparition, the vision from Blessed Anne Catherine, she mentioned that it was not a thin band, but more of a wide band, and there was an inscription on there, very small and very beautiful from what she described. And you can only imagine the time it would have taken to make something as articulate as a wedding ring. I have no doubt of Joseph's talent. I'm sure that he was a phenomenal carpenter, phenomenal handyman. I have no doubt that the time that he would have taken to make this ring was incredible. And not just making this for anyone, but making it for the love of his life, for our Blessed Mother. And as I'm looking through here, it was described as iridescent and dark in color, a dark amber or yellow. And they mentioned that in the cathedral, when the sunlight would hit it, the ring could almost appear as a milky white. And we all know that white has the symbolic meaning of purity. But she described this as it was not made of gold nor silver nor any other metal. And the color that was dark and iridescent and not thin or narrow, but rather thick, at least a finger broad, and it was smooth. And yet it was covered with little regular triangles in which were letters. And on the inside was a flat surface, and the ring was engraved with something. So as you can kind of picture this, the extremely meticulous work, and with every stroke and every sanding that he made on that inside surface, so it wouldn't abrade or rough up Mary's finger, he made every single stroke and every single engraving, every single aspect of that ring, he did out of love, and that came from the heart of Joseph. And that's just something I wanted to just take a moment to reflect on, because that's what I thought of. I thought of that, and I thought of the love that was put behind that ring. And that's not a ring that was ever bought at a K jeweler, and nothing against Access, where I got my wife's ring, because I don't have the talent that that St. Joseph or other people have, but there's nothing wrong with that at all. But taking some time to meditate and ponder that, it's really special. So I'll leave you with that today. Thanks for listening. We will pick up tomorrow on day, I think we're at 18. I think it is, yes, day 18, where we'll be going over Joseph Most Prudent tomorrow. So, but until then, thanks again for listening and learning and praying along with me here today. Have a great day, and we'll pick up on this tomorrow. Take care.